Blog Talk Radio.
Alafia, greetings and Hotep. Welcome to the Oracle's Read. You've got your Omi Inca live coming to you straight from my studio. I'd like to welcome each and every one of you by saying Habari Gani and happy African American History Month. We're working on rolling down those numbers now, getting close to the end of this month. But we don't want to forget, we still are in the mood for celebrating African American History Month. And boy, do I have a treat for you this evening. This is a rescheduled show. So for all those who have not been viewing me, I've been away for a while. I'm back now, have to reschedule some shows. So please don't hate me. Don't hate me. Don't count it to my heart, count it to my head. I'd like to also say that for those of you who are still looking for the return of the gods have returned, and they are here. And we'd like for you to know that there are young men that are out there and young women that are gods that we want to highlight tonight. We don't just want to acknowledge all of our old heads, but we want to talk about some of our young heads who are doing the doggone thing. That's right. Those young men and women out there who are exemplifying themselves as gods and goddesses. We have a god here for you this evening, and we're going to welcome to our stage one of our most featured young men in the community of Gary, Indiana. He also comes to us by way of Miraville. He is a Miraville student, and he is in middle school, and his name is Mike Chambers. We want to feature him because we see some outstanding skills and some gifts in him. And he also tells it like it is. He is one of the old heads. He is a wise old soul, but he's also one of the risen gods who knows his purpose. Now let us help, let us be able to welcome him to our graceful stage as we talk to him this evening, ladies and gentlemen. We also want to bring our quorum back to you, Mrs. Harvey. And we know we cannot do anything without asking permission for her to speak. And before we speak, we ask permission from the oldest person in the room, and she is 80 years younger. So we're going to bring her to the stage to talk about what the old people did when they discovered there were unique gods in the house. These are the gods that are returning, ladies and gentlemen. First of all, let me tell you what the definition of a god is. A god is someone who has mastered themselves, mastered their inadequacies, and know their limitations, and know how far they could go, and they are walking up the ladder and advancing to that stage of a Christ-like individual. They are becoming conscious, and when they come into the Christ head, they are now transitioning into the gods. Welcome to the stage this evening, ladies and gentlemen, our gods and goddesses. And we won't be doing any music this evening because we're going to dedicate all this time to our speakers because we have two of them this evening. Now, I want to go and bring on Mike Chambers and introduce him first because he is the youngest, youth before beauty and age. And we're going to bring him on and give him the opportunity of talking about what are the things that makes a man? And how do you know when you come into manhood? And if you come into manhood and you have dodged the bullet, so to speak, and now you are walking the chalk and you are doing all the right things to stay out of trouble, what does a young man do when he's stopped by the policeman? And when the policeman stops you, how do you cooperate with the policeman so that you don't make any false or wrong gestures so you can stay alive? And what are those things that you will do to help your parents see the God in you? What must you do to shine and stand out? We're going to bring Mike Chambers on, ladies and gentlemen, to our speaker phone this evening. Give him a round of applause. And if you're out there, we can't take any calls today. We are dedicating our lines this evening to our two guests. So hold tight as I bring on Mike Chambers.
Hello, my name is Mike Chambers. I'm from Gary, Indiana, but I really didn't go to school in Maryville, Indiana. I was born in Gary, though.
Mike, could you tell us a little bit about your life in growing up and the kind of things that made you realize that you were special, that you were chosen? What are some of the unique things about yourself that you noticed at an early age to set you off and set you aside from ordinary people?
I grew up, like, everybody knew me in my neighborhood. I know almost the whole neighborhood. And I've been growing up, and, like, I got treated me with respect, and, like, they make sure, like, nothing don't happen to me and stuff like that.
Well, I would say that you are special if you had people looking out for you. That's a good thing. Now, Mike, tell me a little bit about growing up as a black man. What are some of the things you have to be precautious about? And when you come in contact with authorities, the security, what must you do in order to stay alive and get out of it safely?
You have to make sure that you talk, that you, like, talk to them in a nice way and, like, make sure they see your hands all the time, or, like, they think you'll probably have a weapon or someone, and then they will try to, like, put a gun out on you and stuff like that. And, like, you just have to make sure that they like, know that you're not up to something. And when they think you're up to something, they think, like, you're a bad person.
Very, very good points that you brought out, Mike. And some young men tend to think that that's the time that they show themselves strong as a hero. And I would think you want to get more timid and more meek and mild because you want to become submissive to authorities. Now, Mike, as you know, there has been a lot of young men that threw their hands up and said, hands up, hands up, I don't have anything, and they've been shot down, as we know. So fate would have it that those men did the right thing, but the wrong thing happened to them. And now we've got a whole city of young black men that are walking the chalk, and they're on the precursors code. They're on this red alert all the time. And we're finding out that some of these young men, they want to talk about it. They want to have discussion. So we're opening up our radio stations to bring young men in to talk about what's on your mind, what's really at the heart of all of this, and how do you feel about these young men that are being shot down, they did everything, they put their hands up, they showed their hands, and they still got shot down. How do you feel about this, Mike?
I think it was the wrong idea to shoot them, even though they had their hands up, because they didn't have any weapons or anything like that. So why would they shoot them for no reason?
Well, that's the very thing, the very question we asked. Why were they shot for no reason? I know that there's a lot of things going on. They want to eliminate African-American males because they fear them, and it's more fear than anything. Sometimes they think that they are shooting because they think African-American men are armed, and you have another situation. They're trying to eliminate population. The population growth is gotten out of hand, and they're looking to eliminate at least 3 million people. And then why not start with the lower socioeconomic people? Why not eliminate them? So there is that school of thought again. Now, and we're waking up, and a lot of us are realizing that we're special and unique people and that we're gods. And now that we're waking up, we're coming out of this slumber, this anesthesis, black men are becoming more and more aware of their surroundings. They want to own their own business. They want to do for self. Now, as they do for self, we find out that a large portion of these young people they're going out and they're starting their own businesses, developing their own gifts. And they are finding out that we can do for self. Now, we've been asking for reparations for a long time. We've been asking that they repay us for all the debts that they owe us. And now we're coming into the point where we're saying maybe we're never going to get reparations. We're going to have to get it on our own. But in my opinion, I think that we all can start working and doing for self. Now, I want to find out from Mike what he feels about working for yourself, providing for yourself, and demonstrating that the God in you wants to rise up and to own your own property and your own piece of the apple pie. So I'm going to ask Mike if he can tell us, if he had an opportunity to provide for himself and to own his own business, what line of work does he think he would be in? And is it possible for all black men to have a desire to do for self and own their own business? Hold tight. Let me pose that question again. Do you think most black men should own their own business and do for themselves and go after a slice of the apple pie?
I think they should, because if a black man starts his own business, it'll encourage the next black man to start their own business, and then it can become more black businesses than, like, it can be more black businesses, because it's not a lot of black businesses. It is basically white.
Very good thought, Mike. Now, Mike, we're going to get into some uncomfortable questions, but we're going to pose them because we don't have a young person in the audience except for you today, and you're the spotlight today. If someone were to tell you that you're unique and that black men are very scarce and that you are dying breed, sort of like the bald eagle, what would you do to preserve your race and to make sure that you were not a dying instinct that would leave the face of this earth? What would you do these last couple of minutes if you had to preserve your legacy of the black man?
I would, like, have everybody come together and, like, have us talk about things. Like, not fight and stuff like that, and just talk it out.
And that's exactly what we need, Mike. We need more speakeasies. We need more platforms where people are able to communicate, collaborate on levels that they can't agree on. We need more black men to see eye to eye. Our black people in general need to be able to give and take. Even if you don't agree all the time, you can find one common denominator that you agree on and agree to disagree and not fight over everything. It seems as if our people have the hardest time fraternizing and collaborating. We all want to have our way, and that's a bit of being selfish. And we've got to come away from that so we can demonstrate that we can collaborate on higher terms, we can get along, and we can meet the mark where we can do for self. Part of it is that most blacks don't trust one another or believe in one another. What must we do, Mike? Our commitment to believe in our race again and to believe in one another, how can we demonstrate that by doing certain things so that people can believe in their black race again?
You can, like, get a big get together and, like, do different activities to, like, you can do different activities and, like, have everybody come together, have blacks come together, and just, like, they can come together and party and stuff like that.
And that's what most black usually come together on, either a desk or a party. And wouldn't you know it, that even when we conduct our ceremonies for funerals, we don't realize that should be a homegoing. That should be a time when we're celebrating. But most of us celebrate death too much, and we don't understand that we should celebrate the fact that that person is free now. He is no longer held down by his body and his faculties. He is free to be in a three-dimension. And black folks have feared death, and young men have always honored these deaths and funerals, but they don't know how to look at the spirit and say, now that brother is more with me than he ever was before. So we've got to get into ancestorship. We've got to start looking at how our ancestors never die. And when you are frequency, you cannot die. Your frequency goes on vibrating and you never die. We want to change the thought about death among black people. We don't want black people crying, moaning, feeling sick and sorry like someone did something to us because it took our loved one away from us. We all will meet that particular occasion where we have to transition out of these bodies. These are earthly bodies. We're going to get to a point where we accept the glorified body where we are spirit only. Now let's get into the spirit realm. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the fact that we have to be eternal. And if we're eternal, if we are gods, we have to be eternal. And I'm going to ask Mike, what does he think we have to do in order to rise to the level of a god? And his explanation of who is a god? How would you explain a god if you had to exemplify and give a definition of a god? What would a god do, Mike?
A God will make sure that it's all peace, no fighting, no killing, and just make everyone happy. God is like, he or she will make sure that he watches over you when you pray at night and then you go to sleep and wake up and pray and stuff like that.
Now, Mike, you said something that was very, very important. You said he or she. Most young men would know to call God a he or she and the female gender at that. I can appreciate your thoughts behind that because your mother is doing a good job of training you because it could very well be he, she, or it. No one really knows the gender. And we usually refer to the God as he, she, or it, because it could be all those genders in one. And I'd like to thank you for that statement. Now, once again, the gods have returned, ladies and gentlemen, and we know that the gods have returned because we have young men that are still walking around here, and they have evaded the bullet, and they're still living beyond the years of 25, and they have beat the statistics. One of the things that we know that black men don't live to be the age of 25. They've already told young men, you won't get to live to see 25. But we can beat that statistic by telling our young men that they're gods and the young ladies that they're goddess. And we start talking to them like they have a purpose and that they're precious. And we do everything we can to spotlight them and put them on the spot to make them feel worthy. Now, what do you think that a young man would believe in? What is his belief thought? We're going to ask Michael here today, what do you believe in? What is your belief? And what is your philosophy of religion?
A religion is like something, it's like your own opinion. It's like something that you follow, but in a different way. But it's like you like worshiping the same God but in a different way.
Now, gotten this question answered right on point, and I'm pleased with that because young people don't want an old washed out religion that their ancestors once had. They don't want to be known for being so churchy. I understand that. And they want to worship God in their own way and time. So the first thing you have to do is build confidence in young people to make them feel like they are God and that they are the ones that we've been waiting for. And once they begin to realize that their religion is not stuffy and foggy like ours was when we were older, then they can go into a church and they can actually submit themselves under a Christ. Now, we talk about Christ quite a bit. But Christ was an idea. He was a concept. And people keep talking about when God come and, oh, how I love God, who they've never seen. The question is, can you love your brother who's here with you, and can you embrace him as if he or she was God? And that's what young people are teaching us now. You might not ever see a physical God, but you can love the brothering right here and now and demonstrate how much you really love God. Now, I'm going to ask Michael, if he had a chance to rule just for one day in the place of Obama, in the place of the White House, if he had a chance to have rulership in his hand and he had the reign, what would be some of the things he would do to prove that he had authority and all power was in his hand?
One thing I would change is the laws, like no guns, no killing, and no fighting. Because what is the whole point of fighting? And you just talk it out. Another thing I would change, another thing I'll change is like with the Trayvon Martin situation, it's like the police, like, need to stop. The police need to stop, like, handling little kids like grown-ups. And, like, nothing I'll change would be, jobs.
And as we roll down to our last 60 seconds of this evening, we're going to point out to Michael that you truly are God, Michael, and those are some good points you made about making changes in the administration, making changes in the community. But we cannot legislate morality. And that's what we're lacking these days. We're lacking morality, and that's what people need to see in the gods that walk this earth, is morality and being able to have goodness and mercy come up out of us. We are so busy talking about our Bible studies, our lessons. We're the lessons. We have all that we need written on our Kostic record that will help us be all that we can be. We came here perfect, lacking nothing. We came here with the ability to love and beget more love. What actually happened is that the environment debriefed us and putrefied us all over again. When we came here, we had the understanding of how to act, how to demonstrate ourselves, and we grew into something called damnation. When we say we came here and by one man's sin we all enter into the death, okay, how is it that we have God's essence and we are made up of God's stuff and could be so putrefied in our own ways? It doesn't make sense. Why would someone write in the Bible that he found us putrefied when in fact God said he made us from his essence? We are made of God's likeness. It's not possible to be both. It would be an oxymoron if we were wicked and wretched and made from God, then God would be wicked and wretched too. So someone's lying to us. We are perfect, and we came here lacking nothing, and we were perfect in our own esteem because we came from God. And we had the endeavor of becoming a master. We had the ability to learn what we were not able to change, and we had the essence to change what we could and become a master, and the knowledge to know the difference that would allow us to move to the level of consciousness and using our brain to push forth the God that's in us. Every one of us have been given his essence, and we all have a God dwelling within us. And as that God lies asleep, we got to wake him up, we got to stir him up, we got to press him forward, then God will show up in us and people will see the God aura in us. Not necessarily a God to come out of the sky, not a devil to come up from the ground, but a God that will come up out of us. Now, I want all young men in the audience to stand, and we're going to take a pledge today because I want all the guys to rise up today. because until we call our young men forward, they will never know their gods. Stand to your feet, young men that are out in the audience. As you stand with me and Mike, we're going to stand this morning or this afternoon, and we're going to say, to the gods, we call you forward today. We call you forward today because we know you have destiny in your hand. You have purpose in your hand. You have reason in your hand. And we're calling you forth today to stand with other like gods so that they all will be able to unite together. So you will start dreaming dreams, and you will have visions, and you will take authority, because as we decrease, you must increase. Now, we're going to have Mike, in our last few minutes, give us his rendition of what young men should do in order to press the gods forward in them. What must they do to be a gentle giant? What must they do to be a kind young man and who is preparing himself for some wife, who is preparing himself to be a father? What must the young men do who are preparing themselves to be the next president? Michael, can you tell me?
One thing is to follow is to not do drugs. Because if you do drugs, you can fall out, you can, your grades drop out of school, then when you drop out of school, can't go to college, you'll mess up your whole life. Another thing you should do is go to church. If you don't go to church, you're not 100% sure that you're going to heaven. Last thing, make sure that prepare for your future, because you might end up being a bum on the street banging for money.
That was very good, Michael. Good points. I couldn't have said it any better. Now, you've heard it from a God, ladies and gentlemen. I don't care what you say. This is from the heart. We are speaking about matters from the heart today, and we have Michael Chambers in the audience with us. He is a God from my perspective, and he has spoken it like a T-I-E-S. And when we bring on our youth, we want our youth to be model examples of what we expect our gods to be, because they will be the new gods on this earth, whether you like it or not. Now, we told you the definition of a god. A god is one who knows their limitation, and he masters all his inadequacy, then he transitions into the Christ-like being. Then he becomes a master, and at that point, he transitions into a god. Now, I know that each and every one of you out there are practicing these tasks of working on your inadequacies, and then mastering those things that you can master, then transitioning into the Christ-like image to become Christ. Christ was a concept. He was an idea, and he wanted his idea to live in all of us. And we can become gods through the Christ-like idea that we press forward, that we press God forward. Now, with these last few minutes, we are going to talk to our crone in the audience. Mrs. Harvey is here with us, and we are going to call on her to get her input about what the elders could do and what have the elders done that they shouldn't be doing, and what must we bring forward from the elders, because they are transitioning and decreasing. What must the elders do to exemplify themselves as a god, Mrs. Harvey?
You want me to tell you what I think they should do? I think the elders should be an example for the youth that's coming up. We should always be a youth. We should do what the Bible tells us to do as we teach others, and we teach the young people about serving God. Then we have to be an example, and not only just teach it, we got to do it, live it, and show it.
Well, that's spoken from an elder. And we do have our talking cat here in the audience with us. I wish she was talking. I would have her on the phone, too. Mrs. Harvey hit it on the head. We have to be more spiritual, and we've got to teach our young people to rely on that soft-spoken voice within them. That is a God speaking to them. Not to rely on any Bible scriptures, but that quietness within their own heart of that first voice that they hear. We don't teach mother with anymore. We tell our children to ignore the voices within. But I'm telling you that when you hear that first voice, that is your right mind, and that is God speaking to you, telling you what's wrong and right. It will never lead you wrong. Now, as our clone has spoken and spoke of the things that we must do, we are going to also say, must also have a relationship with God. And that relationship you have with yourself. And as you speak to yourself, you tell yourself what it is you're going to do in the morning, what it is you're going to do at night. And you use your time to develop a relationship of prayer. Prayer is an utmost thing. Developing prayer and being able to call things that be not as though they were. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I would tell you that we normally do our libation, but today, for the sake of time, we won't be able to do our libation. Now, we have another question that we're going to ask our crone in the audience. Now, she is up in age, and she's seen a lot of things going on. We are contemplating some new things here in Gary. We want to bring back the music movement because we know that music is very, very important to Gary. Citizens here, a lot of them are into the bop. They're into the stepping, but we're talking about the swing. Mrs. Harvey probably was involved with the swing when it was out there, the savvy swing. But we're also going to bring about the music to liven this town up with music. I, too, am a dancer and a roller skater, so I love it all when it comes to the right side of my brain and managing my gifts on the right side. So it's very, very important that we look at what can we do in Gary to bring the gods forward. How can we press the gods forward? You bring out the best in people when you bring out the right side of their gifts. So we're going to talk about gifts for Mrs. Harvey and ask her, what are some of the things black folks can do that we did to manage ourselves and to entertain ourselves when we were caught up in the web of slavery? What did we do to maintain ourselves and to press the gods forward so that no one would kill the spirit?
One of the main things we did was to reach out and develop a relationship with God. And when you develop that relationship within yourself with God and serve Him, it applies to you, and you will do the right thing, and you will be motivated to teach others how to serve Him also.
Well, Mrs. Harvey, what did you do as a cohesive group to entertain yourself, and who were the gods? Were they the ones that spoke out and that took beatings from the master in order for the sake of the whole group? And who were those gods, and who were the outstanding people that you remember that were outside of your minister, someone who was a common person? Give me an example of what a god would represent to you outside of your minister.
God would represent me outside of my ministry. I think that the one who you see, who you have faith in, maybe your minister, because I remember Reverend Anderson. I remember Reverend Anderson. He was a God to us because as we grew up, we followed him, and he led us, and he told us, and you know what? And he taught us how to serve God and how to develop a personal relationship with him.
Well, I would like to know, Mrs. Harvey, were there anybody else besides your minister that you could give us an example of that exemplified a God, who had authority, someone who was a hero, who spoke out, who was an advocate on the behalf of the African-American race?
Yes, we had that among us, and that among us were some of our young ministers who wasn't pastors then, but we had young people who was taught and trained to serve God, and they grew up serving Him, and we had to follow their directions, and we did, and that as we followed their directions, it developed us to be better and make us better followers of God.
Now, this is not a religion show. People, I don't want you to get the impression that this is a religion show. We're speaking of common everyday people who could have been called gods and should have been called gods, who we failed to call gods. We are the forgotten gods, and we are it, ladies and gentlemen. There's no one coming behind us There's no parting of the sky, and there's nobody coming after us or to get us, and no one to save us but us. Who's going to save we? As one of my friends used to say, we first have to save we. How do we save we? What do we need to do in the community to help ourselves? I'm going to bring Michael back and ask him, what is the solution or the formula so we can save our black struggling community so we can rise up and be the gods that we are?
You can help the community by building all the abandoned houses and building more schools for the children.
That's right. These abandoned houses is the number one thing on the topic, Michael. You are absolutely right. We have a stockpile, ladies and gentlemen, and you know how I feel about these foreclosed homes and how they've ripped us off and taken the home from the people. We came together and had a million family march, to march against the disruption of our lives, the disalignment of our judicial system to not fight against this, and cases that have gone to court that are still lingering in court. We have people that are still looking in from the outside of their homes, walking the street, and not knowing where they're going to live. This is a disgrace. This is an inhumane act that has happened, and our society should be feeling rather bad about it. It is a disgrace for our society to have people that are still fighting in court, trying to get their properties back. There's too many houses that have been laid waste, and people are outside of them. And we intend to do something about it as gods, I want you to know. We don't intend to just talk about this subject over and over again, not only going to court to fight in losing battles, but we intend to do something about it in the spirit realm. And we're going to do something about it right now. We're going to call forth the Godheads and the spirits to stand up against injustice and inadequacy, against lay people, people economically depressed and deprived of their income and ability to work. No man should be deprived of his ability to work, because every man has a right to work and a right to land and property. It says so in our legislature, in our civil rights. Our rights have been violated, and we know this, and young people know this, but they want to fight back. That's why they're marching.